Look at him, mama. Can't get along, honey. I really tried to treat you right. Now, when I come in from work, darling, and give you my check, you want to raise sand, fuss, and fight. Get a chance to stay out all night. You left last night at 8, said you're going to the show. Come sliding home at 4. Then you come sliding in this morning soon, just about at 4. Then you drunk, got all my money too. Come here, girl, let me tell you what I'm gonna do to you. I'm gonna cut your head 4 different ways, baby, long, short, deep, and wide. When I get through spreading the rhythm with this rusted black-handled razor, you're gonna be mapped out for an Ameland ride. I'm gonna cut A, B, C, D in the top of your head. That'll be treating you nice, sugar, and you ain't gonna be dead. Cut E, F, G right across your face. H, I, J, K, that's what running mountain take place. Cut L, M, N, both of your arm, sell your drink and pedal sugar your whole life long. I'm gonna cut O, P, Q. That'll be trouble too, cause I'm gonna grab your mama and turn you every way but loose. Cut R, S, T, the yeah you cry. That'll be the last time tears will run from both of your eyes. I'm gonna cut U, V, W under the bottom of your feet. Last time you walk up and down 25th Street. I'm gonna mark you across the bosom with X, Y, Z. Want to get through with these alphabets, you quit your messing with me.
A happy ending to that horrible song right there. It's Brian and Vinny's show, everybody. It is Tuesday night, January 19th, 2010, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Got stuff to talk about tonight, as we always do here on this program. SmackDown from this past Friday night, which inexplicably did like a 2.6 rating. Something ridiculous on the overnights. Like, the highest I've ever seen it is a 2.1. And it came in at like a 2.6. Why? I guess Rey Mysterio is popular with those Mexicans. That's the conclusion I've come to here. We'll talk about that show. We'll talk about Raw, which I enjoyed. Thought it was a pretty good show. And boy, have we got a blast from the past here from WWE 24/7. An old Coliseum home video, which was titled The Best of WWF Volume 1. Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, Andor the Gaint. Just a large...
There's one I haven't heard in a while.
Snuka, Piper, oh yeah. It's just
Baron Mikel Scicluna.
Mikel Scicluna,
yeah, yes. I didn't realize this until we got started, but when I was about 10 years old, I think the local video store had one wrestling tape to rent. And I believe it was this one. Because I have seen this, not in 20 years or more, but I have seen this 7,000 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was it any different now?
Yes. When I was 10, I didn't realize how great Adrian Adonis was.
He was quite awesome.
I probably thought Hulk Hogan was great for beating up Adrian Adonis like that.
We're going to save that for the end. Yeah. Let's get the... Actually, Raw and SmackDown weren't bad, so I guess we could start with it if we wanted to. Why the hell not? Best of WWF Volume 1, a Coliseum home video production, opening with a Star Wars-style crawl, saying that what we were about to see was something that dated back over 5,000 years. Something that men had done, handed down through the ages.
Societies all over the world.
Prove themselves, to compete.
Yes.
And most of all, to have fun.
To have fun.
They didn't say the words wrestling, but there were shots of guys wrestling, statues of guys wrestling, the whole nine yards. It was something that I just wish they'd air this one time at the beginning of Raw so I could just laugh my ass off. So it opened up with the epic battle of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant versus Big John Studd, Adrian Adonis, and Dick Murdoch. Oh, the notes for this match. First off, Hulk Hogan had to be the workhorse for his team. Saying something right there. Second, they started out by getting the heat on Andre the fucking Giant, who at the time had to be a legit 450, maybe 5. Enormous. This guy was enormous. He moved all right, I guess, for being as large as he was. Big John Studd didn't show me a whole lot. Dick Murdoch was all right, but way past his prime. But Adrian fucking Adonis, this guy, such a profound tragedy. It's always a tragedy when someone dies young, but my God, what a tragedy this was. All you need to know is that at one point, Adrian Adonis did the flip bump into the corner, popularized by Of course, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Ray Stevens, they all did it. Myself as well, I'd like to add to that illustrious list. Adrian Adonis was smoother than all of them. Adrian Adonis, this fat, pudgy guy, was smoother taking a flip bump into the corner than Shawn Michaels is nowadays. And in his prime.
Yeah, he's more fluid than Shawn ever was.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone flip into the corner in a smoother fashion than Adrian Adonis did here. And I'm a gymnast!
Yeah.
I should have an edge! Apparently not.
You would think.
They did a spot where Hulk got behind Andre as all three heels were sandwiched in the corner. Kind of a, what do they call this in gay porn? Vinny, you'd know. Something,
I'm sorry?
Something, some sort of train. So what do they call it?
No, Brian, I don't know.
You have to know what the train's called.
I don't
know. There's a name for the train.
It started with Andre having stud in the corner, and then Murdoch came in, Andre threw him in front of stud, and then Adonis came in, and Andre threw him in front of the other heels. And the crowd was going insane for all this. And then Andre started, doing the shoulder thrust into the corner on all three heels. And I guess Hogan felt left out. Because he ran up behind Andre, grabbed him around the waist. Andre kept doing shoulder thrusts, and Hulk basically humped him into the heels. If there's a name for this in wrestling, or pornography, or yoga, I'm not familiar with it.
All I can find when I Google it is gay train. And by that, I mean the term. I'm not actually looking at it right here. There's got to be a name for it of some sort. I know that train is involved, but regardless, this was the lewdest spot I've ever seen. And I lived through the 90s. That's saying something. So, anyway, ended up with Andre chasing Stud to the dressing room. Hogan was being double-teamed, but of course he made his own comeback. And then Andre returned, hit a big boot, and then lumbered on top of Murdoch for the pin. Place went nuts, and everybody, and that includes Hulk Hogan, was able to carry this match for Andre the Giant. So there you go.
And the booking of having Stud be a cowardly heel and run away from Andre back to the locker room, that helped save face for Murdoch and Adonis. They were beaten 2-on-2, at least, by the world champion and the Giant. So it's not like they were beaten 2-on-3. That was good stuff. And you didn't even mention my other favorite bump that Adonis took was Hogan whipped Murdoch into Adonis. They bonked head-to-head. Adonis took like 3 steps backward and caught the ropes and flipped upside down over the ropes and landed tied up in them.
He did.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Not that there's anything wrong with the train, by the way. Just want to throw that out here.
But it certainly looked strange in a pro wrestling match.
Well, it would be lewd.
Oh, definitely lewd.
If you had a man and a woman falling in a 69 position, that'd be lewd as well.
Sure.
Something to do with the homosexuality. I was merely pointing out that it looked like whatever those trains are called in the gay community.
The gayest man alive would see the spot and say, that looks lewd.
Yeah. We had Gene Okerlund with a comb-over interviewing Mula and Lou Albano. And Lou, of course, was fabulous. And Mula was hilariously plain, although pretty much anyone would be next to Lou. And the best line was when he said that she'd been champion for, what now, 12 years? And she goes, 27. I laughed.
Lou apologized. So I should also mention that Howard Finkel was doing the ring announcing, and he also had an epic comb-over.
Well, yeah, a lot of comb-overs, a lot of mullets, a lot of afros, actually.
There's a lot of afros on this tape as well, yes.
So we actually had the match, Mula with Lou Albano against Wendy Richter with Cyndi Lauper for the WWF Women's title. It was not very good. I mean, obviously, we've seen worse on Raw.
Yeah.
In fact, I saw worse on Monday.
You usually see worse on Raw.
But, yeah, wasn't much. Heavily edited.
Almost all the stuff was heavily edited. My favorite part here was when Wendy Richter was working over the arm. So she's got Mula on her back and has the arm stretched out. And, you'll see this all the time. Guys are like, hold the arm down and lift their legs up and drop a knee on the arm or something. Wendy, let's go. Jumps in the air and attempts to splash the arm. I am so happy Mula pulled her arm out of the way.
Yeah.
That would be unbelievable. That would be too stupid even for me.
So they did this match. Wasn't much. Ended up with Mula going for she tried one of those, it wasn't really a German. She's kind of rolled her onto her shoulders and did a bridge, but it was a shitty bridge. And so they both had their shoulders down, and Richter got hers up at 2.5, so they announced she'd won the title, which was bullshit. And it made Lou so angry and Moolah so angry that they hit the ring. Moolah drop-kicked the ref, looked to be older than Moolah was, which was kind of scary. And then everybody celebrated, and there was a great deal of cheering and brouhaha involved here.
It was amazing because not one person in the building thought Wendy had won. They were all certain that Moolah had rolled her up and pinned her right in the middle of the match like that. And so when Howard said new, there was actually a delay of a few seconds, and they gave the belt to Wendy, and then the fans went apeshit.
Yeah.
So, an odd finish. Not what I would have done.
Had the footage of the Gorilla Monsoon Muhammad Ali confrontation from 1976, this really happened, everybody. Started out with Gorilla facing the aforementioned Baron Mikel Scicluna, and he sent him outside about 10 seconds into this match. Ali was at ringside. And for some reason, Gorilla sending Baron Mikel Scicluna out of the ring made Muhammad Ali so mad that he ripped his clothing off and hit the ring. So he hits the ring, and the Baron on the outside just throws his hands in the air and walks to the back. He knew his role. So Ali gets in the ring, and he starts throwing these jabs at the Gorilla, who was gigantic. And he's throwing these jabs, and Gorilla's just kind of swatting him away and not letting him get too close. And finally, Ali points at him as if to say, "You ain't nothing," or whatever. And Gorilla gets underneath him and gets him up for the airplane spin and spins around numerous times and dumps him on his ass. At which point, Ali gets up, turns his back, leaves the ring. He's had enough. He looked like a fool here.
It was a strange segment, wasn't it?
And then Gorilla, and by the way, I don't think Gorilla ever in his entire life admitted that this was a work. He tried to claim that this was a shoot. So he goes outside, and of course, Vince McMahon is right there to interview him. And, you know, Vince is asking him these questions. And Gorilla said, "Well, you know, he's a wrestler, or he's a boxer. You get a boxer off their feet, they can't do a goddamn thing.
You tie him up, they're done.
I could have wrist locked him. I could have broke his arms and his legs." He said, "Good boxer, bad wrestler," and walked off. This promo was decades ahead of its time, in fact. Decades ahead of its time.
Every word he said was pretty much true.
Yeah.
The wrestler has the advantage over the striker. I also like when Gorilla was introduced as the All-Asiatic Champion.
He appeared to be the size of Asia, coincidentally.
Not just the Asian champion, All-Asiatic Champion.
Well, yeah. All Japan sells the All-Asian Tag Team Champion.
I guess so.
Yeah, it was quite the deal here. A lot of this stuff was historic. You look at it in hindsight, and it's like, huh.
What did that accomplish?
Which brings us actually to what comes up next. First, we had Superfly Jimmy Snuka against Bobby Bass. Why was this on Best of WWE, you ask?
I have no clue.
Well, because they wanted to show how cool Superfly's Big Splash was.
I guess that was it.
He won quickly in a squash.
Bobby Bass looked like a retarded Buzz Sawyer.
So then we had Snuka and Piper, the famous angle on the Piper's Pit. And I hope no one that loves this angle is listening right now. I don't want to burst your bubble or anything like that, but this angle looked like an angle we've seen 20 times this month alone on both Raw and Impact. With that said, they did leave the camera on a little longer than they would have on Impact, but not a whole lot longer. Basically, Piper was there just being annoying. Snuka didn't say a word. Piper hit him with a coconut. Snuka went down. Piper stomped on him a bit. And then Snuka snooked up and chased Piper, who ran out of the building. That is the entire angle.
Right.
Now, obviously, in 85, 86, whenever this was, he didn't have angles like this, you know, four times on every show, every week, 52 weeks out of the year. They were rare. And thus, there were people that saw this angle, and they'll never forget it. And I guess you can't go back. We will never go back to those days, everybody. The day will never come. This has become a TV business. It's no longer a house show business. House shows are doing well, but it's more a TV business today than it's ever been before. We're never going back to the days where you'd shoot an angle every couple of months, and people would remember it forever. That's why you recap Raw and SmackDown right now, and people think that I've had multiple head injuries because I can't remember half this shit. It's not my fault. It's the fact that there's so much stuff going on every week on every show. We watch four shows a week, first run between WWE and TNA. It's impossible to remember all this shit. So anyway, very historic angle. Really wasn't much of an angle in hindsight, but it led to the match, the first match, Snuka and Piper, Madison Square Garden. Place was sold out, it appeared. The place was going absolutely batshit for this match. It was a great professional wrestling match. Roddy Piper was a fabulous heel. Jimmy Snuka was a fabulous babyface. They had an easy, basic match. Snuka got his revenge. Piper got beaten up. He bled. He looked like a fool. And then finally, Snuka went up top for a big splash. Piper kind of pushed him, and so Snuka necked the ropes and fell outside, and the ref rapidly counted him out. So Piper won via count out in their first battle, which was perfect because I actually didn't know the finish going in, but when they got in the ring and I saw the place going nuts, I thought, I wonder what kind of finish they'll have to build up a comeback or a return match. Because obviously Snuka can't just win here. You know, you gotta string this fucking thing along. And they did. So there you go. This was a great wrestling battle, I will say that.
I was watching the Piper's Pit part, and all I could think, and maybe it's just because they both have short brown hair, but I watched Roddy Piper and thought, you know, the fans of the 80s had Roddy Piper, and today we have The Miz. And that seems like we're getting gypped somehow. Roddy Piper was just awesome in his insanity. Then they had the match, and as you noted, it was great. The two best parts of it to me, actually three, and they were all Roddy Piper. The Piper stalled for a long time. He was eager to show what he could do against Snuka and also afraid of him at the same time. And he finally took the shirt off and he finally got in the ring and he's backed into the corner and Snuka's stalking him. And Piper finally nuts up and goes into battle. And before he does, he releases the battle cry clearly shouted in Madison Square Garden. Whoa, motherfucker. That made me laugh. So they're having this match. It's basically just a one big giant brawl. And Snuka goes to whip Piper into the ropes, and Piper, as has happened to all wrestlers at one point or another, his head slips under the rope and comes out the other side, and so he just goes with it and launches himself throat first into the top rope. Awesome. And then finally, they're brawling on the floor, and I think they said Piper went into the post is when he gigged. So he gets in the ring, he's bleeding, and as far as blade jobs go, you will see hundreds, perhaps thousands, where they lose more blood than Piper lost here. But you've never seen a man get so much out of a forehead wound. He crawls into the ring. His forehead is bloody. He's dazed. He's confused. And he rolls to his back. And he taps his head. And he stares at his hand. And he taps his forehead and stares at his hand again. He rubs his fingers together and finally realizes, holy shit, I am bleeding. And then he turns to Snuka, who is stalking him like a monster. And Piper begins to panic. Because he's bleeding! That means he is in grave danger! And he shakes his head, and he screams, and he begs for mercy, and the Snuka attacked, and it was awesome. So, yeah, Roddy Piper's good, it turns out.
Roddy Piper was a fantastic man.
Who knew?
Still is a fantastic man, actually, regardless of any issues that may have occurred between us in the past. And then, of course, we had the main event, or actually it was the main event of what we watched.
It was the part where we stopped watching.
Yeah. Which we shouldn't have, because Hogan was training Gene Okerlund, which maybe we'll have to watch next week. But it was the Black Tiger versus the Cobra for the vacant WWF Junior Heavyweight title. Yeah. The Black Tiger was Mark Rocco, and the Cobra was George Takano. And they were ahead of their time.
Yes.
They were ahead of their time. It was heavily edited, so we didn't get to see all of it. But they did Lucha, they did high spots, there was a tope, a primitive one, mind you, but a tope.
A pretty ugly tope, but it was a tope.
Plus a ref that had no idea what the fuck was going on, and he was right in the way as Cobra tried to hit the ropes. And I did feel sorry for these two bastards, because they're doing like a cruiserweight-style match in WWF in like 1984 or 1983 in these hard-ass fucking rings. These rings had no give, and it was patently obvious as these guys are flying around and taking these big bumps. And I just thought, well, you know, I mean, I know why the Dynamite Kid's, you know, paralyzed, but Christ, you really realize it when you see these bumps these fuckers are taking in these rings. And Dynamite did a lot stupider stuff than these two did, but mm-hmm. So anyway, Cobra hit a tombstone, a top rope, senton backsplash for the pin. Fans went nuts for the final couple of moments in the pin. Didn't really care about it early on. They didn't know what in the hell they were watching.
That's the big thing, because these guys were having this, you know, this is a primitive Japanese juniors match from 10 years later. This is a primitive version of that. And they're working hard, and they're doing all this chain wrestling and flying around and dropping each other with tombstones, and the fans had no idea what on earth to make of it.
Yeah.
They were just mystified by it. And then by the end, they decided they really, really liked it, and they really liked this Cobra fellow, because Black Tiger was sort of being a prick by hitting suplexes and tombstones and picking him up at two. And so when Cobra finally reversed it and hit a tombstone of his own and then went up top, they all were going crazy. He dropped the senton and squished the man. They loved that. And then Cobra won and all was right with the world.
I mentioned this story before, but I was at a Pinnacle show once, and Davey Richards and Tony Cazzina were there, also working the show. And they had a match together, and it was like a match that would have been a great Ring of Honor match. And these people in Milwaukee, Oregon, had no fucking idea what was going on. And they sat there in almost utter silence throughout this match. And then later, out came Moondog Ed Moretti, and he spit straight up in the air, and it landed in his own mouth again, and the people went fucking crazy. And it's just...
You got to know your audience.
Yeah. This match was... It was a really, really fun match, but you could have brought out Gorilla Monsoon and Baron Mikel Scicluna, and they would have got a better reaction than these two guys.
Scicluna, you say?
Scicluna.
Right.
That's how you pronounce it. So, yeah, there you go, everybody. WWE Best of WWF.
That was the best they had to offer.
That was the best they had to offer there in, like, 1986 or I guess it would have been before WrestleMania 3, so probably 1986.
They were bouncing around a lot in the timeline here. There's also clips later of a couple, apparently, of Bruno Sammartino, Larry Zbysko matches with the loosest ropes I ever saw. I don't know how they were running them, and I don't know how they didn't fall out of the ring every time.
We'll have to watch that one next time. And, yeah, let me... we played old McVerhye, didn't we?
Yes.
Let's play it again. What the hell?
Why not?
I'm a man who likes to I like to pick up where I left off on the previous show. So this is old McVerhye.
Old McVerhye.
You know what we have later on in this show is, I don't know if you've heard it yet, Vinny, but The Cancer's King of the Board 2010 theme.
I have not heard this.
He's out. He's out of the tournament, sadly.
Mm.
I think. I actually should look at the brackets right here. I don't know if you've noticed or not. Probably not, Vinny, but you're winning.
Huh. That's odd.
You're not only winning, but you're kicking the bone machine's ass here. It is 165 votes for you to 107 for this poor bastard.
Mm?
And that is going to bring you, I believe, into the semifinals, if I am reading this correctly. Let's see. It looks like, yes, you are going to be in the semifinals here, facing Iamo. I don't even want to try. I've tried for years and failed. Amo, however you pronounce it. It's going to be you and him in the semifinals, Vince. And if you beat him, you go to the finals against one of four men. Zig, who I have no idea who that even is.
Zig.
I don't know. I have no earthly idea.
That's not Zig used to wrestle for Tim, is it? He was a cool guy.
I don't know how Zig got in there when it came down to the Supersonic and Thrillbilly. Somehow Zig won that one. I don't know. I don't know who Zig is. Anyway, it's Zig against Alan Forel, which I expect Alan to win. And then we've got Entaf, who beat me, who I'm endorsing to win this entire thing. He's going to be facing Dave, who's unaware that there's even a contest going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like Entaf to win because he beat me and I think he deserves the $100 grand prize. But at the same time, the idea of you versus Dave in the finals is intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who doesn't care against
right,
the guy
who doesn't know.
Doesn't know. That would be so awesome. That would be the greatest final in the history of the King of the Board.
I did see your open letter today.
Yes.
I will admit that I spent enough time looking at this to see your open letter to the assholes out there who apparently are taking this way too seriously, and you in turn are taking them way too seriously.
Well, I had some spare time tonight.
That's clear.
That's clear. You know what's funny is people read that thing and they go, Christ, Brian must have spent 3 hours working on that tome. The reality is I took about 6 minutes. I type fast, and it just comes out. I was sitting here on the board, and I was reading people that were so asshurt about losing in a popularity contest on the fucking board that they were asking for next year only to do PM voting if you had a high post count. You can only read this so many times before you flip your lid, which I did. So if anybody cares to read my open letter to the assholes on the board, you can go to the Brian's Friend Vince's Karaoke Showcase. You can read the letter, and then you can cast your vote in the semifinals and finals, which are coming up literally within the next week. And again, the winner is going to get a $100 grand prize.
And their own folder on the board.
And that's right. There's a brand new locked folder right now waiting. That would be so awesome if you had two folders you never went into.
I go in my own all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Less lately because there's been stuff I don't care about. But no, I'm in there all the time. But I will say, Brian, that putting the thread out there for everyone to see was a genius move. Obviously, I would rather have the $100, but the people who care about this, having a tangible prize they can actually see and lay eyes on, that's genius.
Sure. They've got something to strive for.
Mm-hmm. And even the casual observers know there's something at stake now.
That's right. And the person is going to get their own folder for a full year. They can do whatever the fuck they want with it, and they will even have the... there's limits.
Breaking the law.
Exactly. It's not going to be a pedophilia forum, like that.
The illegal stream showcase.
Exactly. It's not going to happen. But, I mean, you've got the run of the place, and you are your own moderator in that forum. You can kick out whoever you want. You can edit whoever you want. You can do whatever you want in that folder. It's all yours, and it's going to the winner along with a $100 grand prize. So, a lot of stuff at stake here, everybody. So anyway, let's get back to SmackDown, and then at the end of the show today, I will play the Cancer's King of the Board theme that he has written for 2010, which...
did him no good, apparently, but we still appreciate it.
Really didn't.
I'm sure it's still awesome. Last year, his song was incredible. Maybe we should play that one, too, at some point.
Maybe we will. All right, let's start with SmackDown. I'll let you get started here.
Jericho came out. He had been knocked out by Mike Tyson on Monday, and so he had a makeup job all over his face. Part of me thought this looked great because it appeared there was actually swelling involved. Part of me thought it looked like he had been burned with an iron or something. It did not look like a bruise. So anyway, he said, regardless of what happened on Raw, regardless of being banned from that show, he said he was still the face of SmackDown, and he called himself the baddest man on the planet, and he vowed to win the Royal Rumble and then go on to win at WrestleMania. This took him a long time to say, but that's pretty much all he said. Then we had Chris Jericho versus John Morrison. John Morrison has stolen Bret Hart's gimmick of giving his glasses to young fans, which, great, hasn't been done in 15 years, so it's new again. They had a match. Morrison set for a dive like a minute in, but Drew McIntyre came out to distract him. And the finish, Jericho got the Walls of Jericho, but McIntyre stood up with the Intercontinental Belt and distracted Morrison, but this distraction served only to motivate him, and he... with fire in his eyes, staring a hole in McIntyre, he dragged himself to the ropes and got them, and then turned around and ate a codebreaker and was pinned anyway.
That was stupid.
That was fucking dumb. Unless Jericho was going to be a main event wrestler in February.
Or at least in the title picture here. Yeah. Is it now a three-way for the Intercontinental title? I don't know.
I don't know. But I was watching this thinking because it never occurred to me Jericho would win. because the Chris Jericho win accomplishes nothing. Whereas I'm thinking, boy, if Morrison beats him, if he beats this multi-time world champion WrestleMania main eventer, it makes him look great, looks the Intercontinental title look great, this would be awesome. Then he lost.
It's new stupid booking, where in the old days, you'd have the heel champion try to distract the babyface challenger. The babyface challenger would get hit with a move, but he'd kick out of it and he'd go on to win.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to fucking build him up as a credible challenger to your heel champion.
You would think.
Instead, the heel champion here distracts the babyface. The babyface loses like an idiot, and it was just... this was retarded.
The end result of this was Drew McIntyre burying his own feud.
So then Punk came out and did this promo about how he'd given Ted the Trailer a better life last week and talked about being the leader of the Straight Edge Society. And anyway, he called in a young black fellow who... also had to pretend like he couldn't get underneath the bottom rope. I still have no idea who this guy was. I don't even know if he was a worker. Maybe they just found a local guy that...
I think, like you said in the newsletter, it was Orlando Jones, the actor from the 7-Up commercials.
7-Up yours guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may have been. So Trevor accepted straight edge into his life. He got shaved, and that led to Hardy Colley against Crime Time and the Hart Dynasty against Punk and Gallows, with the winners getting a title shot against DX. And I thought for sure, well, this is easy. Hart Dynasty. Hart Dynasty gets the match against DX. Well, I was wrong. They had a match, and Gallows ended up hitting Shad with his finisher for the pin. So we've got DX versus Punk and Gallows for the titles at some point. And then after the match, Trevor hit the ring and raised Punk and Gallows' hands, and I thought they were going to turn on him, but they didn't. So he truly is a member of their Straight Edge Society and a friend.
I was worried when they came out that this was going to be exactly the same thing we saw last week, and it was close, but it was not. Punk did cut a new promo, and then Luke got to speak. And I thought to myself, oh boy, here we go. No, he was fine.
He's fine.
Didn't talk long, but he got a fine promo about how you don't need pills, all you need is Straight Edge, and all you need is CM Punk.
Bullshit.
Or you might need pills. Punk vowed to win the Rumble like everyone else, so that's good. And Orlando Jones was a great little guy, head-shaved guy. The only thing that was missing here, I think Punk, I mean, people will get it, and they're going to do it 100 times, but I thought Punk should have explicitly said, I need you to shave your head as a symbol of the sacrifice you're willing to make. Instead, he just shaved it, but whatever. And I'm actually excited that Punk and Gallows won simply because, hey, a new matchup. New matchups in WWE in 2010 are rare and cherished.
Josh interviewed Big Dave and wanted to know about the cage match, and Dave said he was sick of talking about Ray, and he wasn't going to talk about Undertaker, and so he had nothing to say. Failure on the part of Josh. Undertaker came out and cut a promo. It was goofy. He talked about the WWE universe. He talked about collecting souls. He's wearing MMA gloves and a duster.
And a cowboy hat.
Anyway, he's doing this promo and plugging WrestleMania, talking about how he's 17-0, and said Shawn had come closer to than anyone to breaking the streak, and this Monday he was going to show up on Raw and give him his answer personally. And regardless of the answer, he said Shawn was going to rest in peace, which was nice, you know.
It was your standard Undertaker promo. He said Mysterio and Batista had felt his presence and experienced a warning. Doesn't matter who won the cage match later because he was hell-bent on destruction, and whoever survived the cage would not survive him at the Rumble. Said of the 17 men he had beaten at Mania, all of the fallen warriors, he said, have tested their fate and asked for no more. And I thought, what about Kane?
That's right, Kane did
it.
Kane
wrestled you twice.
Yeah.
You beat him twice. No. And neither of them was as good as your match with Shawn. So, anyway, yeah, he said he would be there on Raw.
Beth against Mickey. They had a short little match. A lot of talk about Mickey's weight issues and this and that. So they're not giving up as her single gets closer to being released. So she ended up with Beth tying Mickey in the Tree of Woe, refused to stop beating on her. The ref called for the bell, a super lame shit finish. And then Michelle and Layla hit the ring and eyed Beth. Beth left. They stomped a mud hole in Mickey and finally laid out Mickey with the Styles Clash, and Beth never came back to save her.
Nope.
So, still building up whatever they're building up here in this angle. Hopefully it does not go on too long. It's about time to pull the trigger on this bugger.
Could be. Beth hung Mickey in the Tree of Woe, as you noted, and Stryker called this the Tree of Joey Lawrence, which is a reference so obscure and so outdated.
It wasn't that obscure, because I immediately knew what he was... Me. I immediately knew what he was talking about, and I just thought...
Well, you're also old.
Oh, God.
But, yes, it was...
Those were my first thoughts. Oh, God.
It was so... It was... I say it was obscure, it was outdated, and it was lame. And it was so, all of those things to such a degree that it became awesome. So that made me laugh.
I do not consider that obscure at all. I mean, I don't think anybody older than the age of 20 would not get that reference.
Perhaps I am wrong.
What in the hell else has Joey Lawrence ever done in his life of any noteworthiness?
He was on Give Me a Break with Nell Carter. He was much younger then.
Can we get a drop of that, everybody?
So.
Someone's got to make a good song out of Vince's previous statement right there.
So, yes, she left with Mickey tied in the Tree of Woe, and then the heels came out to beat her up. And when they, what they did was they picked her up and slammed her down.
Give me a break.
Backwards,
with Nell
upside
Carter.
Down into the turnbuckles. And maybe it was the camera angle or the edit they used. This looked horrifically violent, like they had just broken her in two. So then they kept beating her up, and then she made her own comeback. Then they beat her up again.
It went on too long.
It went on way too long.
All right, enough.
This segment failed.
I just hope the teacher mentions "Give Me a Break" with Nell Carter here at some point down the road. That would make this whole thing worth it. Kane and Dolph Ziggler had another fucking match. Last week was better than week one, which ain't saying much, but I never in my entire whole life need to see this match again. Last few minutes were all right. Kane chokeslammed him for the pin. End this feud, please.
I was mostly just fascinated with Dolph Ziggler's hair.
It gets very dry and...
It's amazing because it comes out and it's sopping wet. And then, granted, they had a long match here, but it was dry. It was brittle. It looks like he's going to like brush it against the ropes and it will all fall off.
Well,
it's amazing. So they had a match.
Do you remember, it was Billy and Chuck. Chuck.
One of them was a Chuck. I recall one of them also had amazingly dry bad hair.
It was Chuck, and his hair kept breaking off, and so he eventually had to just shave it all off.
There you go.
You can't keep processing it, everybody.
The hair has a breaking point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, it went a very long time. It didn't really need to, but they did. It wasn't like they were fucking stuff up left and right. And then the crowd finally popped when Kane won with a choke slam. So, great. No more.
Rain-Dave cage match. Winner getting Undertaker at Royal Rumble. My editor here wrote WrestleMania, but I'll forgive him for tonight. So they had a decent little match here. It wasn't fantastic, but it was fine. And so they did this little match and ended up with Ray. It was actually a very creative finish. Ray ends up starting to climb. And it says after Batista went for the powerbomb, he grabbed the cage and started to climb. And he's scrambling over the top like a little fool. And Batista decides he's going to try and go through the door to beat him out. So as he's going through the door, Ray goes over the top. He kicks the cage door. The cage door goes into Batista's head. Batista flops into the ring. Ray drops way too far down onto his badly injured knees.
Very stupid.
And wins.
Yes.
So creative finish with and they managed to slam the door on a guy's head in a cage. And it was something new for once. Probably not the first time it's ever been done, but hasn't been done like this for a while. So creative finish. Fun little match. Mexicans tuned in en masse, so everybody
that's a
won.
Win, yes,
everybody won.
The key to the finish is that it was coming. It came right after Dave had basically wiped Mysterio out. He hit a spear. He hit the spine buster. He began doing push-ups to mock this man. He could have left at any point, but he wanted to finish him and rub him out once and for all. So he went for the power bomb, and as he lifted him up, Ray reached up and grabbed the cage, began to climb, and Dave turned around and panicked. I thought, shit. And he didn't know whether to go for the door or go for Ray. He chose the door. It worked out badly for him. So SmackDown was okay. Everything made sense. It's clear where they're going with most things except Beth, which seems to be taking too long. But it was a fine show.
We got another new song here I'm going to try. And then we'll do Raw. And then we'll play that big King of the Board theme. I think we got some shout-outs, too, as well. I'll have to check. But let's play this one.
Dead Hart's like a fucking old horse with a slug in his fucking head. Dead, I've lived my gimmick. Ted Hart's real.
This is Teddy Hart rapping. Let me start over.
Wait, are you serious?
Yes.
The actual Teddy Hart?
Yeah.
Dead Hart's like a fucking old horse with a slug in his fucking head. Dead, I've lived my gimmick. Ted Hart's real, motherfucker. What I say I do, it's an illusion, it's an art. And it comes from a heart. And I'm the last one carrying on the motherfucking name. And I will not let the name go down in shame. Canada, where you could smoke fucking weed, the seed that must succeed. You don't gotta worry about smoking crack and having some fucking guy like me break your back.
What?
You're a joke on the crack pipe, doing meth like a fucking pest. I'm talking about a seed that grows from wind, water, and sunlight that you smoke and you heal your body from. And I don't even get the smoke weed anymore. Once in a while, I'll bless a couple friends with a joint or a story. But I saw a fucking restaurant that was called McDonald's, and I was driving down the street and I saw a Wendy's. You know what? They both sell different things. They both sell hamburgers, but they're not really competing anymore. It's called free choice. What I'm saying is, if there's a McDonald's, try Subway once in a while.
What in the fuck was that? What in the hell was that?
An epic fail is what that was.
To think that man got cut. How can that be?
Oh, my God. Where the hell was that even from? Someone just sent it to me.
Maybe. I like to think Teddy called you and left a voice message.
Oh, my God. That was some good stuff right there.
Was it now?
Ode to Vince Russo. Should we play this fucking thing? Let's do
it. Give it a shot.
Let's give it a shot. Then we'll do Raw.
From day one, I've said I'm a storyteller. I'm going to be totally honest with you. It's more of a thinking man's product. It's not just wrestling. The David Arquette thing is going somewhere. It got people talking about WCW. Somebody hands me a USA Today, and there it is.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
Eric and I mean, you know, we've both put some time into this business.
I think we know
what we're doing. Watch what happens on Thunder tonight. It makes perfect sense.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
You know, there is a lot of negativity.
It is awesome, it's badness.
But that's okay because they're talking about WCW.
Killing me.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you!
This, by the way, is what a conversation with Brian usually sounds like.
The rating of that show was a 2.6. I started the following week. 3 months later, okay, my last rating on the show was a 3.4. Well, would you consider
he's so
2.6
full
to
of shit.
3.4 in less than 3 months not that much better?
He's better. So full of
well,
shit.
Well, I mean, I'm just giving you facts.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
At 8 o'clock at night, I met Vampiro and Sting in a graveyard.
Vampiro?
Who was the guy who made Juventud Carrera a color commentator on Thunder?
Fuck you!
That was great.
There's a lot of swerves and curves.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
Can't say Vince Russo has never had a good idea, because Juve on color commentary was a win.
All right, start on Raw.
Vince McMahon came out to the ring. As usual, he got a raucous ovation and plenty of cheers, and so he immediately told the crowd how much he hated them. Said life was about making decisions, sometimes hard decisions, like bringing Bret Hart back, like kicking him in the guts, and like banning him. These are all hard decisions, he said. See, he did it for the fans, so they could remember Bret for the way he was, not the way he is. He talked about, apparently Vince has seen Wrestling with Shadows, because he quoted Bret virtually when he said, "When wrestlers are no longer of value, it's his job to put them down." He said it was like chewing gum. Said, Bret was like chewing gum. You chew him up, and then once he's out of flavor, you spit him out. He said it was the people's fault because they always wanted more. They always wanted bigger and faster and stronger and more grandeur. He said he didn't make the decisions. The people did. So they chanted, "You suck." And as Vince was talking, the Undertaker's dong went off. Vince was not happy about being interrupted. He very politely told the Undertaker this, but Taker did not care. He said he was there to address Shawn Michaels, but while he was there, he wanted to say something to Vince that Vince's ego wouldn't let him remember. He said, "There's not many of us left," which is borderline tasteless until he said, "in the company." He was one of the few people left who was at Montreal in 1997, and I'm pretty sure it's him and Shawn and Hunter. And I'm probably missing some, but...
And Mark Henry.
Mark Henry is still around. I did forget him. And, of course, Vince. So, he said he had seen fear in Vince's eyes. He said, "You now screwed Bret Hart twice. Now you're terrified of the consequences, and you should be." That he said that was the... Kicking Bret Hart last week was the act of a coward. And Vince finally just yielded the floor and left. So, Taker addressed Shawn. This took a very long time, but he rehashed the scenario. He called Shawn out, told Shawn, "I've already beaten you at Mania, I have nothing left to prove to you, and no, I will not wrestle you at Mania this year. But if you want a chance to fight me, we can do it tonight." So, Shawn said no. He didn't want to beat Undertaker just at any show, he wanted to beat him at WrestleMania. And he said, "If this is what I have to do, then I will win the Royal Rumble and challenge you at WrestleMania." And they went back and forth for a bit, and it ended. It was good.
I disagree in you doing this segment justice. This is actually a really great segment, because I had been wondering, how do you string this along?
How do you have Undertaker back out without looking like a pussy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did look like a pussy initially by just saying no, but then he followed up by saying, I'm not afraid of you, I'll wrestle you right now tonight. And then it was Shawn that said no. And as mentioned yesterday, it was basically Mayweather-Pacquiao here on Raw. Both guys just being bitches.
I didn't think about that, but yes it was.
So yeah, they agreed that Shawn was now going to have to win the Rumble and get the title. And this was... The fans did not like this. They wanted to see Shawn Undertaker tonight, well, but you know what?
I'm fine with them not liking this.
Too fucking bad for you,
yes,
fans.
Too bad. This was good.
We had Sheamus and Evan Bourne, which Lawler said, didn't we just see this 2 weeks ago? The answer is yes. Don't know why we're seeing it again. Orton came out to watch, and of course Sheamus won clean, and then Orton got in the ring for the big stare down, and Sheamus ended up grabbing his belt, raising it over his head, and then backing off and bailing. It was simple. It was a good way to build up the match. Orton didn't say a goddamn thing.
Didn't do a goddamn thing.
He was, I guess, positioned as the babyface, but not pushed hard as the babyface, so I guess they don't want him to turn babyface, although he'll be the babyface in the feud. It's all very confusing.
He's the babyface by the end of the show, really.
Fine.
But yes, it was what they had to do. Sheamus had won a fun, glorified squash. The champion stared down his challenger. He held up the belt and reminded everyone what was at stake, and then he left. It was fine.
I refuse to even acknowledge the Cartlito skit backstage.
It was
so bad. I mean, this was like...
The only thing I have to say about this is that...
This I gotta hear.
They referenced at some point that Hunter Hearst Helmsley and John Heater had an incident at some point where they didn't get along. And...
What?
They said this. Don Johnson said this to Hunter. He said, I know you two have a history or something. I don't have any earthly idea what on earth he was talking about.
Are you sure that's what he was talking about?
That's the impression I got. I've been wrong before, but I watched this and I thought, what?
Somebody on the board, please alert us if Vince has got this wrong. I did not hear this.
Yes, it went downhill from there.
We had Swagger coming out, ranting and raving about winning the Rumble, and he was upset about Santino beating him last week, so he challenged him to an over-the-top rope challenge rematch. And Santino came out dressed as old school Don Johnson and said he wasn't doing it tonight, but found a suitable replacement. It was Mark Henry, so he threw out Swagger immediately. And
Swagger's reaction to Mark Henry coming out was money.
There's nothing to these segments.
No. Well, there's Swagger's facial reaction, and there's Mark Henry pressing Swagger over his head. He's strong.
Wade Keller arrived with the Bellas and got out and went into the building, and it was John Heater. He was playing the heel. And I thought he did a good job on this show.
I thought he was awesome on the show.
I was greatly entertained by John Heater. I thought he was a one-trick pony with Napoleon Dynamite, but he's now a two-trick pony. I'll give him that. So, oh, God, what the fuck was that movie about ice skating? They reference it many times. Blades of Glory. Yeah. If anybody watched that movie, what were you thinking?
Did you see it?
No.
Then how do you know?
Because look at who was in it.
Will Ferrell and John Heater.
Will fucking Ferrell and John Heater. Maybe I'm the only one, but I am the polar opposite of what you would call a fan of Will Ferrell. I don't get it. Is it just comedy? I don't get. I don't get what's funny about Will Ferrell in like any of his movies. Hmm.
Did you see Night at the Roxbury?
That one doesn't count.
Did you see Anchorman?
No.
Anchorman's fantastic.
I'll think about that one.
We need to watch Anchorman sometime.
I just don't get it.
I have seen a few others. Actually, I like Elf.
I was forced to watch Elf once.
Well, you also hate Christmas. That may just not be for you.
I don't know. Anyway, so Heater comes out.
What are we talking about this for?
Because I figured John Heater had nothing outside of Napoleon Dynamite. I figured
is a safe assumption.
One character he could play,
but he came out.
And he could be entertaining in no other way.
Well, now we know he has two characters. He has Napoleon Dynamite and he has Andy Kaufman.
That's true. You know who else? David Spade.
Yeah. You'd like to talk about David Spade?
No, I don't want to talk about him. I don't get it.
Well, I believe you hate this man more. What about Rob Schneider?
Oh, my God. Why are these people considered funny? Like, what is wrong with America? What is wrong with America that these people are considered funny? There's a long pause of silence here.
I enjoyed David Spade when he was doing the Hollywood Minute on Saturday Night Live.
I mean, even I'll say what the fuck's his name? Norm MacDonald. You know, Norm MacDonald outside of doing interviews on like Letterman and Leno.
Yeah.
You know, he's hilarious there. He's fucking awesome. And he was great. I actually enjoyed him on Saturday Night Live as well. But you take him out of those two arenas and he fucking sucks. Okay. I'm not going to say that that's not true. I don't know. Why am I even on this subject?
Well, because apparently you've had a bird up your ass for a while and you wanted to get it out.
I really didn't. I spend 0 hours, 0 minutes, 0 seconds per day thinking about these fucks. But their names come up and I'm just like, seriously.
So anyway, Hader said it was great for the fans to see them since they were big movie stars. And he said, let's hear it for movies. Everyone booed. Don Johnson announced that he had booked a main event with DX. He never announced their opponent, and apparently he didn't have one in mind because Hader changed it anyway. So they made some jokes about the football coach who had just left the area where they were in. Hader called out his friend, The Miz. They went back and forth for a bit. Miz made some jokes about Don Johnson and Tubbs. Miz said MVP was the Tubbs of Raw. So MVP came out, said he was...
I actually think Tubbs is more obscure than Joey Lawrence.
If you said the black guy from Saturday Night Live, that's more well known. I don't think many people know his name was Tubbs. The name
from
itself...
From Saturday Night Live?
Oh, sorry, Saturday Night Live. Miami Vice. That was a fuck up.
Can we just give this show up now already?
I'm sure
I've been thrown off my game by fucking...
I'm sure our listeners have. So, to make a long story short, it ended with them booking DX versus the team of The Big Show and The Miz in the main event. And Hader announced this heel team, put them together, and said, let's hear it for Friendship! And I was hoping that would be their actual name. Big Show and Miz, the team of Friendship.
They could have come out to Why Can't We Be Friends?
Yeah, this is money.
Cena and Kofi against Legacy. Kofi won. He needed some rehab after last week. And afterwards, there was that uncomfortable meeting with Cody and Ted where Ted stared at Cody for fucking up, but Cody thought Ted fucked up, and Cody finally walked off, and there was a lack of friendship here.
There was. They were unfriendly. The deal was that Ted had broken up a pin on Cody and helped him to his feet, and then turned around and saw Kofi on the top rope, and Kofi dove and Ted dodged, leaving Cody to die, basically. And that's what happened. So there you go.
We had Alicia Fox and Maryse against Gail Kim and Eve. A horrible match.
I call it a calamity.
A bad encounter between wannabe professional wrestlers.
In fact, my exact words here are, okay, seriously, what in the hell was this?
And these are the last four in the tournament for the title.
And then
the title shot.
Eve Torres beat Alicia Fox with a flying armbar.
I guess it's the last four for the...
I don't know. I don't
care. Who's the champion?
Care.
Why was Maryse in this match?
Melina was the champion. She got hurt.
Oh, that's right. It's vacant. That's right. I'm sorry. I assume Maryse was already the champion.
But this was preceded by a segment backstage. The tag match was made a six-man when they added Hornswoggle and John Heater to the mix. John Heater was telling his men, giving them wrestling advice. The advice was, and I quote, do what you do best. Be big. Wrestle. Awesome! This guy was great. So, yes, they added Heater and Hornswoggle to the match. Heater was confused. They assured him everything would be okay and added, we'll get you some sweet gear made. Yeah. I love this segment as well.
Boy, did they.
They did.
We had Johnson flirting with Kelly backstage.
That was amazing.
I laughed. Come on now. So, Heater walks in and asked to be replaced by Johnson in the match tonight. And Johnson said no, and then Show and Miz come in, and they've got a Ric Flair robe with The Flame written on the back, and Heater marked out, and in the greatest moment on the show, bar none, Heater starts talking about, I've got all these ideas for The Flame. What if I had, like, fire coming out of my palms? And Big Show very calmly says, bad idea, his hair's flammable.
Yes.
I laughed so hard at that line. I don't even know why, really.
It was great. I also like the hand in this robe. It says The Flame on the back. And, you know, they're backstage, but you can kind of hear things in the crowd. And one guy screams at the top of his lungs, Flamer! That was funny. I also liked, Heater wanted Johnson to take his place. And Johnson says, we're not really that close. We didn't even do any scenes together in the movie. That was awesome. And then finally, Show and Miz come in, and I think it was Johnson who said this. He said, I don't know what these guys are taking, but they better cut the dose in half. This segment was unbelievable. In hindsight,
Vince was ranting. He's appalled that Undertaker called him a coward, and Hunter says, listen, what is it with you McMahons always having to get... Hunter was so believable in this segment that I believe that he believed every single word
That's
he said.
That's probably true.
He wanted to know why the McMahons always had to get the last word in. Why couldn't he have just let things go with Brett? Now he was going to have to invite Brett back on the show and give him worldwide exposure and make him a star again. Or if he didn't let him back on the show, everybody was going to know that Vince was a coward.
Mm-hmm.
So Vince was not happy with either scenario. It was a fascinating look at how Hunter's mind works, and I was intrigued.
And yes, it ended with jokes about Hornswoggle's weight. Sean didn't want to carry him because he was too heavy.
Did you see the midget on Sean's back, or on Hunter's back?
Yeah.
A big-ass midget.
Well, we mentioned this when...
he's a full-sized man with just short arms and legs. He may weigh more than I do, now that I think about it.
You are tiny. I was bewildered at first. I was trying to figure out, why are Hunter and Vince hanging out backstage? And then I remembered, oh yeah, they've established that's his father-in-law now. So, that makes sense.
We had Orton and Chris Masters. And
real match, everyone.
Yeah, they
Randy Orton against Chris Masters.
They gave Masters a lot, actually.
They almost let him win.
Until he failed. Orton was in the master lock, got the ropes, and then just RKO'd him for the pin. Made him look like a F-O-O-L.
Well... And he got beat by Randy Orton. Kofi got beat by Randy Orton.
Vince.
Bad example. Yeah, you're right.
Masters was in the middle of the ring, fully healthy, having just put the guy in his finishing hold and almost put him unconscious. Mm-hmm. He was beckoning him for him to come to him for more. And Orton walked right up to him and gave him his move. Okay? Please attempt to justify this.
Fool.
Exactly. This would be like you standing in the middle of the ring and putting your chin out for Shawn Michaels. Dumbass. Anyway, then we had Miz and...
Sheamus laid Randy Orton out, by the way.
That's right, he did. Hit a big boot. I'd forgotten.
It was really funny for some reason. I don't know why.
Miz and Show, because we need to wrap it up. Miz and Show and Eater against DX and Hornswoggle.
I prefer to call the heel team Friendship and the Flame.
It's a fun little tag match. They actually tagged in Eater there at the end after... The midget made a hot tag and immediately got chokeslammed, so Heater won it in. He got in, he took off his robe, he displayed a Napoleon Dynamite physique, quite frankly.
Actually, I think he's let himself go since the days of Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite would have beaten up John Heater on this night.
Yeah.
So he immediately kicked Hornswoggle right in the fucking throat.
Looked very
hard.
And Hornswoggle took this, he got kicked in the throat really hard, and takes this giant bump and rolls to his back, and you see him grabbing his throat and rolling his eyes like, what the fuck is this guy?
Well, I'll tell you what. If I were in the ring with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, or Hornswoggle, I would rather be hit by either Triple H or Shawn.
Oh, no question.
Because they're not going to touch me.
Ever, yeah.
Well, Hunter might. But realistically, they're not
accidentally.
Yes, they're not going to accidentally hit me. Whereas that midget, there are many stories about how hard that midget hits people. So he got his. He got a receipt. A lot of guys laughing last night. So anyway, he got booted, and then they had a big complex finish that involved all sorts of stuff. Sean superkicked Show. Show fell on Heater. Sean superkicked Miz. The midget splashed them both and then pinned Heater. And everybody cheered. And that's when we got the post-match deal where they were supposed to have Sean, Hunter, Cena, and Big Show all saying they were going to win the Rumble.
And eventually they did.
The music guy forgot his cue, which caused both Shawn Michaels to repeatedly scream fuck over and over, and Hunter to scream, finally, Jesus Christ. So they were not happy about that. I laughed. Two flip-outs in a row is awesome.
It is.
Raw.
I'm fine with one tantrum a week.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a deal, and basically Hunter is going to throw out Shawn, and they're going to have to... They're not friends anymore in the Rumble.
No.
Because Shawn wants Undertaker, and Triple H wants Sheamus. So we'll see where this goes.
It is, in fact, every man for himself. And they're doing a good job of building to the Rumble and making it... There are many candidates for the Rumble this year. Last year, everyone on Earth knew Randy Orton was going to win. This year, I think people are pretty sure Shawn's going to win. But they could do Cena. They could do Hunter. They could do, theoretically, they could do Punk. So they're doing a good job of making everyone care about the Rumble and making it seem important.
Yep.
Thank you.
Agreed.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's, I got to send something here real quick. Let's do the shout-outs here very quickly.
Oh, we do have shout-outs.
We have one shout-out.
Let's do a shout-out.
Shout-outs are given to people that sign up. You get one for free. We've had a shitload of sign-ups in the last, since January 4th, actually. So a lot of people are due shout-outs. If you signed up, feel free to send it to brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Make sure you put shout-out in the subject line. You get one free shout-out on this show if you sign up. We're going to read one of them right now. And, of course, if you've not signed up yet, I have no earthly idea what you're waiting for. We've had a huge surge of new readers, listeners, etc., and they're all re-signing up again at this point, it appears. So they enjoyed what they got for the past month, and how could you not? If you love the radio, there's a million shows. If you love the newsletters, there's a million newsletters. You guys have all been on the site. If you haven't, go to WrestlingObserver.com. But you've all been on the site. You've all seen all those things you can't click on because you're not a member. You've seen all those shows, like today's show with Dory Funk Jr. that you can't listen to because you're not a member. And all the other shows as well, and the newsletters you can't read that Dave plugs every day in the news update. All you got to do is sign up. It's $9.99 a month, which is nothing. It comes out to, 30 cents a day? Luckily, I've got a calculator right here.
I'm just leaving you out there to die.
Well, I fucked that up. $9.99 divided by 31. 32 cents a day. 32 cents a day. And you can listen to this show every day, basically. And all of the archives dating back 5 years. I just screwed up this whole thing. I'm just going to read the shout-out.
It's a good site, everyone. Sign up.
Dear Brian and Vinny, joined the Empire quite a ways back, June of 2008, shortly before the merger. Thought I would finally cash in on my shout-out. First off, big ups to all who contribute to this great website. The hours of entertainment I get from B&V, old and new, are worth the $10 a month alone. Also become quite the fan of Carl Stern. Also a big fan of the dailies with Lance Storm, even with his new shamble of a quote, Monday Night War. Still find it hard to watch the current pro wrestling product on my TV, but the coverage on the site is so great, I still attempt to keep current. Freeloading seems like a ridiculous option at this point. Sign up, you goat fuckers.
Yeah!
A quick plug, I own and run my own record label, St. Rose Records. And if you're one of the 2% of the population that still buys vinyl records, please check out my website at StRoseRecords.com. That's StRoseRecords.com. New releases from Victim's Family, Low Five, and Levator. I thought it was Levelator. I was like, that's quite the name of a band. Levator. Out for 2010. Special props to Vinny for reminding me not to give a rat's ass about the King of the Board. Fuck you to Joey Styles, the Eagles, Vince McMahon, Lee Greenwood, Jay Leno, whomever invented the Trojan virus, this economy, and people who think it's okay to steal music. Cheers, Jerry, a.k.a. Beauregard, on the board.
Thanks, Beauregard.
Fine, fine shout out there, Beauregard. Beauregard, Beauregard, Beauregard.
I like what you said the first time, Beauregard.
Beer bong. All right, everybody. We're going to play the last King of the Board song here. Hope you enjoy it. And don't forget to sign up, everybody. Don't forget to sign up. Because if you don't, you're missing out. And those of you that have been freeloading for years, it just baffles me at this point. Let's play this tune, and we'll leave on a happy note here on the program.
Yeah. Second time around. Granny said I could do it. King of the Board.
Go for it. Pimpin' J and B's a little angry. Chico should take a bow. Teddy's gay and racist now. But I gotta smile cause me and Sinbad just had babies. Hey there, little Pingu girl. When's Destiny's calling, he's gon' rock your world. I'm in the MP, I would say. Grammy, you know what it is. Jimmy Lasers is the shit. And if
feel like the European. Bobby Jim is taking over the hood, and Hitman's gonna finally do a post that's good. The sniper's typing in all caps, you knew that he would. And Undertaker's still a tripping, munchos on his bullshit. The Dooley's in America, Tommy Neville, that's the crew. Phony and them Joker foes, Oliver, he fucking knows. But he ain't escaped his doom. There's no more gloom. Don't fuck around or you'll get all you in and over. Thomas is a name that all of you should know. Vanilla Fire, Hardcore Hogan, School to Jason O. Sawyer, Blueface, Thistle, Crumbly, Rover, Matt, Patty, I'm a Hey there, little FPL. Let's bury the hatchet and be better than them. I'm in the MPI, of course. That's how we do it on the board. Crispy Lily, I'll score. And if you're lurking, you're a blend with it in San Antonio. Me and three will be lit in 7-Mac clearing. Ari, I know you see me. Like all playing simple, baby. You know that Crickler got the stack. Mookie Ghana got the stack. You know that Riot striking back. You know that him is never whack. Leonardo, DJ Buck Casino, BDR, Fury God, Chili, D.Y.P.
Mr. Canada, Dunks, Jose the 5'9, HGA, Beckley, Jazz, Vanilla Now, Wanalea, Big Triple Dot G, Omega, City Duck, Sideswipe, Johnny Hatch, Stevie J, DXT, Jiggleman, The Sandman, Mexican Seafood, Alvin Well, Jazz, The Green Bastard, Timmy, Jakey, Mark Ren, Decca, Mr. X, New Brandon, Smart Flea, D-Bob, Dan, and Redunbeck, everybody, even Lurkers, Lance Fucking Storm and Dave Meltzer, King of the Board, bitch.
How did this man lose? How did this man lose to you?
I am trying to figure out what this man is doing. How can a guy that talented just be a person on our board? How, unless that's actually Timbaland in disguise, how can a guy with that much skill and talent and creativity just be a guy on a pro wrestling board?
Cancer, no? All goofy board storylines aside, you are the fucking real deal.
And that's clear.
And you should have won this year. That's all I'm going to say about that. Kids, we are out of here. I can't top that. We may not even have a show Thursday, actually.
No, just play that song over and over again.
Just play the song again on Thursday.
Amazing.
A fantastic
piece of work yes.
By a great man who sadly was beaten by a lazy fucker. No offense, Vince.
No, it's true.
All right, everybody. We're out of here. Sign up. Have a good time. We'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Lucha and another show with Dave, and we'll talk to you after a while.
Adios.